Let's pray together and we will begin. Father, we do want to thank you for this week and for all that you've accomplished, for all that you've done in us and will do through us. Father, as we end this day and reflect over the next week or so, just how to process and how to incorporate what we've learned and heard into our lives to make us more like your Son and then to help those around us. Thank you for the relationships that have developed. Thank you for the friendships and for the camaraderie that we have because we are all in Christ. We're all part of the family. Thank you for that, that we share that together. And that's been such a blessing this week. Help us this morning as we concentrate and focus and think through these last few little sessions before we end. We'll do it to bring praise and honor to you. In your name, amen. A couple things as I start. One thing I just want to say, and this is kind of very particular. I believe your name is Mark, who asked me earlier in the week about helping military guys going on deployment. After this session, I'd love to talk to you again. So that's just one person. If you know who that is, you know who you are. We're going to talk about counseling people with a psychological diagnosis. Now, how many of you know anyone who's been labeled or has or is on any kind of psychotropic drug or antidepressant? All right, if you didn't raise your hand, what does that mean? That means you have no friends, or you do, but they don't talk to you or tell you anything about their lives, right? And you have no family, you have no coworkers, because the reality is we all know people who are on, but given this kind of label, whether, and we'll talk about how people get these labels, but the other challenging part about this is a different session. So we talk about anger or fear or worry, and you've had those sessions, and they're like, okay, how do you help someone who has that problem biblically? Well, this session is going to be different because I'm not going to tell you that, because underlying why people are on the, why they get the label, why they're on the medication is a problem, a root problem, a heart problem. And when you identify that, that may be many, many, many different things, correct? It's not just one thing. It may be many different things. So I'm not going to tell you exactly how to, I'm going to tell you how to think about this problem, but I'm going to tell you that you have to use all of your other knowledge and skills and training, data gathering, and then solving problems, because you will see things that they're on medications because of their past. They're on medications because of their family. They're on medications because they're depressed, they're fear, they're worry, they're this, they're that. So incorporate everything else you've learned this week into even this lecture. So we're going to talk about how we think about this more so than anything else. Now, this will come together. Dr. Hodges, next hour, will talk to you about counseling people with a medical illness. So these really two go together and taken in tandem. So Charlie's doing that next. So we're going to clarify some terms just for our purposes. This is for us and how we clarify our terms. So, Charlie, next hour we'll talk about medical illness, and that's someone who's been diagnosed with a proven or provable medical illness. And the sentences are worded very carefully. The person's pathology, meaning what's wrong in the body, what's abnormal, demonstrates the objective. What's objective? Meaning I can replicate it, I can know it, as opposed to subjective, which means all of my interpretation. Objective existence of a specific disease in the body as a result of scientifically verifiable tests. That's a very narrow diagnosis and a very narrow definition, but it's an important one that we would say that's what we think of when we think of medical illness. However, when we think of psychological diagnosis, someone who's been labeled with a condition from the current version of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Diseases. And we are not here to criticize by any means. We are here to be as clear and concise and specific and correct as we possibly can be. Unlike the people with a medical disease described above, individuals have been given a psychiatric label based on their thoughts, their emotions, and their behavior. And generally, the person is on one or more psychotropic drugs or antidepressants or some sort of medication. Now, I want you to, as we walk through these next couple sentences, I want you to circle a couple things, because I think it's important as we approach and think about this topic. So we are, what's the next word? So, circle thankful. By the way, is it important that we are all thankful? And do we have to work on that? Does it come naturally? No, doesn't come naturally. We are thankful for the privilege of ministering to persons in each category. However, to properly serve the people God brings to us, and that's what happens, right? God puts them in our path. It's important to distinguish conditions that truly differ. So we're thankful. We seek to approach the topic with compassion. We're compassionate and we're humble. So thankful, compassionate, humble. We desire to serve with compassion because we recognize that persons in both categories are fellow sufferers and should be treated with love, mercy, and grace. We are thankful, we are compassionate, we are humble, we are loving, we are merciful, and we demonstrate grace. Think about this. If any of the individuals who came across your path who had been given one of these labels and you treated them thankfully, compassionately, humbly, love, mercy, and grace, would that solve a lot of the issues that are going on? And as we approach someone who has been given that label, how should we approach it? That's what we're talking about. Our attitude, how we approach it should be thankfully, compassionately, humbly, lovingly, mercifully, and gracefully. So we desire to serve with humility because we recognize there's much about the body we don't know. We support and celebrate objective science and pray that mankind's understanding of how the body and soul interact will continue to develop and mature. And we understand that good people may differ on this subject. Is it possible that there could be any good people in this room? And is it possible that we could differ? Say yes. Now, you ready? Okay. I'm going to ask you a question, and the answer is, the way I'm going to frame the question, the answer is like stupidly obvious to answer the question. However, to really do it is much more difficult. So, if we disagree, which should be most evident? Our disagreement or our godliness? See, stupidly obvious. Is that true in real life? That makes sense? See, I can frame it so we all know the answer, but we don't always live it that way, do we? We don't always live it that way. Our godliness should be most evident. Now, understand how a psychological diagnosis is made. So, again, I am not here to criticize. I am not here to create a straw man and then destroy it. I'm here to try to help us understand how a psychological diagnosis and a medical diagnosis is made. Not to make you psychologist, not to make you certified, and none of those kind of things, but just to give you a basic understanding. So first of all, many counselors who come for biblical counseling have already been given one of the more psychological labels. I mean, they already have the label. And how do you get the label? Well, sure, you can get it from a doctor, but you could also get it from your coworker. You get it from your friend, your neighbor. Or many people get it from just going on the internet and saying, wow, that's me, right? And that's what I'm like. So all these are ways that we get the diagnosis. And many times they've experienced difficulties in their life. In dealing with with those issues, they responded in unbiblical ways. And most of the time it's through not knowing how to apply biblical principles to the difficulties. So the person responds in a way that to him or her, they try and reduce their symptoms. So they're going to go on medication because how's the diagnosis made on how you think, feel, and act? And so I want to think, feel, and act better. So can sometimes little pills make a difference? And the answer is, well, they believe that's the best answer. So the current Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders explains the criteria used to make the diagnosis. For example, the diagnosis of ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, lists 18 thoughts and behaviors used to make the diagnosis. We talked the other day in depression about the fact that there are 9 thoughts, feelings, and behaviors used to make the diagnosis of depression. Now, we're going to understand the difference between psychological diagnosis and medical diagnosis. In a medical diagnosis, there are definitely organic causes of a number of behavior problems. So I want you all to take your free hand, unless you got a pen and coffee, then you don't have a free hand. But your free hand, yeah, really, I don't have a free hand. Free hand and put it right here in your neck, like that, and swallow. Okay, what sits right there? Your thyroid sits right there, okay? Now, what does your thyroid do?